John chapter 1 from verse 14 to 16. Okay, let's start reading. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now the word here is Jesus Christ. I'll just read from verse 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Okay? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 14, and the word became flesh, that is Jesus Christ, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And I want you to underline these words in your Bible. Full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. And of his fullness we have all received. Now skip over to verse 16. And grace for grace. Right. Grace for grace. And of his fullness we have all received. And grace for grace. Now I looked at the words grace for grace. And I wondered, what does that mean? We all know what grace means. Grace means favor. It means the mercy of God. It means unmerited favor. And I looked at that and I said, grace for grace. What does grace for grace mean? And what I do when I want to have a deeper interpretation of the word, I look at the different versions. And I went to the Amplified Version, and therefore I wanted Luke to put this up for us. Because this is awesome. Look at verse 14 again from the Amplified. Right, there we go. And the word Christ became flesh, human, incarnate, and tabernacled. Now he tabernacled amongst us. Now what's a tabernacle? It's the tent. He fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us, and we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty. Such glory as only begotten Son, as an only begotten Son receives from his Father, full of grace, grace once again, defined as favor, loving kindness, and truth. And wow, look at verse 16. And out of his fullness, abundance. So the fullness was in Jesus Christ. The abundance was in Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus said, the thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and life in abundance. Here we see the word abundance again. For out of his fullness, abundance, the abundance of Jesus Christ, we have all received, all had a share, and we were all supplied with, listen to this, one grace after another, it doesn't end there, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. Wow, that is mind-blowing. It's not, when you see it in the New King James, it just says grace for grace. But grace for grace, what we have received as a result of the fullness of Jesus Christ, Jesus coming in the fullness of Almighty God, we have grace upon grace, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, gift heaped upon gift. Like, if that is not something. God has blessed us with so much, so much, so much. And he wants to pour out his blessings. We always talk, when we say to other people as well, we say, the Lord bless you. But look at the blessings that he bestows upon us. It's one upon the other, upon the other, upon the other. It doesn't end. And he increases his blessings upon our lives. But Abraham was blessed. He tithed out of his blessing because he was so blessed. Right. In that, we have so much of blessings. We have abundance of grace upon our lives. One of the things the Lord says to us is that he has anointed us with joy. And that's where I feel, that's what the Lord wants to speak to us about today. Joy. Joy everlasting. Because the joy, one of the scripture verses says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I was so blessed when I turned to the scripture this morning, because this is what I was putting in this text, and I know the scripture, you all know it. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Remember that one? But me, being me, I wanted to go and read it and see exactly where it's found so that I can give evidence for it. So if you want to turn to me to Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. And here, God gave me such revelation this morning as well. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. It doesn't end there. It doesn't end. He who continually goes forth weeping, and underline the next line, bearing seed for sowing. I'll read it again. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. We know that part very well. We say it all the time. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. But what does it actually mean? It continues. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing. Which means our tears are the seed. Every tear that we shed is a seed that we are going to sow. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, what will happen to him? And this is a promise in the word of God. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What will he bring his sheaves with him for? To harvest his blessings, isn't that so? Those who go, who sow in tears, there's two promises here, twice it said, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. So every time we are hurt, every time we are offended, every time something happens to us that causes us pain, that causes us to shed some sort of tears. As women, today is Mother's Day, we can openly talk about our tears. As women, we cry a lot. Okay? When we cry when we're angry, we cry when we're happy, we cry when we're offended, we cry. Those are tears that we shed. There are many times when I say to my tears, just stop it, just stay there, don't come out. But it just comes out. Okay? Men have their own way of dealing with things. But we sow tears. Men do cry. And don't listen to the lie that men should not cry. Only babies cry. Because God has created us with the emotion. That's why He's given us tears. If men should not cry, God would not have given men tears. Okay? We have to cry. It's a release. When we cry, it's a release of emotion. And Jesus wept himself, yes. John chapter 11, I think it was. Yeah. Those who sow in tears, what shall we do? We will reap in joy. Amen. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless, without a shadow of doubt. What does doubtless mean? Without a shadow of doubt, shall doubtless come back with rejoicing. So this is my challenge to you. This is what the Lord has been speaking to me about over a period of time now. Sow your tears. Sow your tears. Every tear that you've shed. Every time. Sometimes you may still be thinking of something and it may bring tears to your heart, to your eyes. Or pain to your heart. Sow it. Sow it. I remember not very long ago, I was in the shop. Some of you know the incident. And the manager of the store really, really wound me up. And I was so angry. I was at the point of tears because that's how I am. When I get very angry, I cannot go beyond that point because I start crying. And I get more angry with myself because I cannot express myself because I start crying. And I feel I'm a weak link because I'm starting to cry. So I stood there, I was almost in tears. And I stood my ground and I kept quiet. I took a deep breath and I said, tears, you just stay inside. And I calmed down. I said, okay, give me that telephone number. But I went to the other a corner in the store, and the tears were flowing down my cheeks. And I was so angry with this guy, so angry, because he really was not listening to me. It was just a bad situation. Steve, you know what I'm talking about, because you've been there with the mobile phone story. When they're just not listening to you, even though a customer is always right, they're just not listening to your part. They just want to prove that you're wrong. But in the midst of that, I believe it was the Holy Spirit that spoke to me. And I thought, it was definitely a prompting of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, this is not happening by chance. This is happening for a reason. And I said, Lord, I'm sowing my anger, I'm sowing my tears for that man's salvation. That's what I did. I sowed my tears, I sowed my anger for his salvation. And you know what? Not very long after I did that, after I sowed those tears, he came back. And everything was sorted. It was as if nothing had happened. They gave me a refund without me doing anything else. Sow your tears. Sow your hurt. Sow your pain. Yes. Sow it for your joy. When somebody offends you, even if you're carrying hurts of the past, go back. Pastor Brian was talking about forgiveness earlier on when we were doing the communion. Go back, forgive that person. And say, Lord, every tear that I've shed in respect of this, I sow it for that person's blessing. I sow it for my joy, Lord, because I want joy in my life. Because He wants us to have joy. He wants us to walk in joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. When we are weighed down, when we are hurt, when we are in pain, we cannot do our best for the kingdom of God, because we are vessels of Almighty God on this earth. And if we go around with our heads bowed down or shoulders heavy, what are the other people going to think about us? What joy, what love are we showing to the others? Whereas if we are going through a storm, we've forgiven the person, we've sown the tears and say, Lord, I am sowing this, I forgive that person, I am sowing these tears now for whatever it is in your life. Okay? Whatever it is. If you want peace in your life, Lord, I'm sowing this for peace in my life. Lord, I'm sowing this for my health. Lord, I'm sowing this for my finances. Whatever it is, you sow it. You know what to sow it for. Because there is a promise. And is God a liar? Does He change? There's a promise in His word that when we sow in tears, we shall reap in joy. So as we sow that, I have started sowing now. I have started sowing. I have started declaring things that be not as though they are. And so when I am offended, when I'm hurt, when I'm in pain, yes, I do cry. I do cry. I do get angry. I do want to fight back. I do want to do that. But I have a check in my spirit. And I sow those tears. I go into my closet with the Lord and say, Lord, I forgive the person. I forgive whatever the person has done. I sow that. And I declare that those things that be not as though they are. So whatever it is, if the person needs gentleness, I declare that that person is gentle. I may not see the gentleness now, but I declare in Jesus' name that the spirit of gentleness is in that person and will be manifested in Jesus' name. Amen. I sow those tears, Lord. I sow that hurt. I sow that pain, to see the manifestation of gentleness in that person. I sow that. Maybe it's in my own life. Lord, I sow that for you to teach me something in this. What am I to learn? How am I supposed to develop? Show me what in which area I need to develop in this area. So sow your tears. Then let's jump to Isaiah 35 verse 10. Now this is a scripture. When the Lord made a breakthrough in my husband's life, I walked out on him. A lot of you know that. But when he restored our relationship, we went to church that Sunday, and there was a lady there. She was just visiting the church as well. She was a missionary. And we both went down to the altar for prayer. And she said, this is what the Lord says to you. And this is a scripture that the Lord gave me in 1996. And this scripture has been my strength. Every time I have been in tears, I've went back to the scripture. And it says, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting what?
Joy
on their heads. Yeah. They shall obtain what?
Joy
and gladness. And sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
Amen.
That is another promise. Everlasting joy. Are we the ransomed of the Lord?
Yes.
Have we been redeemed?
Amen.
Yes, we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are the ransomed of the Lord. And the promise to us here is that we will come with singing. We will come with everlasting joy on our heads. Not just joy for today, joy next year or whatever. Everlasting joy in our heads. We shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall do what? Flee. What does the word flee tell you? Not just to go, but to run. When you flee, you leg it, as the young people say these days. We're learning all these words. You leg it, right? It's like a shark coming. Well, obviously you can't run in the water, but it's like a lion coming for you. And you are fleeing from the lion. So there's a promise to us here. Sorrow and sighing shall flee from us. But it's a decision that we make, you see. We can choose to stay in that situation and cry and mourn and weep. Or we can choose to say, Lord, I am sowing these tears. Lord, I'm sowing this pain. Lord, I forgive that person. And Lord, I am moving on. Have you ever tried that and you ever seen what a difference it makes? Yes, it may not make a difference immediately. But before long, you're not even thinking of the situation again. Before long, you're happy and joyful again. Right, now turn with me again and now to Isaiah chapter 61. Verses 3 to 7. But I'm going to read from verse 1. Now this is Isaiah prophesying about Jesus Christ here. And this is the scripture that Jesus read when he first stood up in the temple. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, and here we go, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of what? Joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planted of the Lord. Why? That he may be glorified. You see, when we are weighed down in a spirit of heaviness, like I said just now, when we are walking around with tears in our eyes, our shoulders drooped, with a sad countenance, we are not glorifying our God. We are glorifying our circumstances. Yeah. But when we choose to forgive, when we choose to sow our tears, when we choose to say, Lord, I am your vessel, and I love that song that we just sang, Lord, I know that your plan for me is good. You know what's best for me. And Lord, even though I'm going through this now, I know that your plans are good for me. And I believe that your plan is good for me. And I believe that this is not going to have a hold on me, because I choose to step out of it. And as we step out of that, who is glorified? Almighty God is glorified in our life. The devil is defeated because he only comes to rob, kill, and destroy. He wants to rob us of our joy. Yeah. He wants to rob us of our peace. But when we submitted, what I do is I physically, in the spirit, I physically do the movements, emotion. I physically take that burden and say, here, Lord, here it is. I leave it to you, Jesus. You said, cast your burden upon me because I care for you. That's what his word says. Cast your burdens upon the Lord because he cares for you. Right. And I want to stress from verse 4. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. And they shall repair the ruined cities. The desolation of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have what?
Double
honor. Instead of confusion, there's a word joy again here in the word rejoice. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess what?
Double.
Everlasting what?
Joy.
Everlasting joy shall be theirs. There's another scripture talking about everlasting joy, talking about rejoicing. So what does the Spirit of the Lord do? When we have Christ in us, He gives us beauty for ashes. So when we are sitting in sackcloth and ashes, He gives us beauty. All we have to do is get up out of that ashes, dust ourselves off, take a shower. Sometimes we literally have to do it. Sometimes we literally have to do things in the physical as an expression of what is being manifested in the spiritual. So get yourself up. I've done this many times, trust me. I've done this many times. I would get up and physically shake myself. You know the dogs, how when they wet, how they shake the water off themselves? Physically, I've done that. Shake the dust off you, the ashes. And he gives us the oil of joy. When we are mourning, he gives us the oil of joy. He gives us a garment of praise. Can you praise if you are sitting in sackcloth and ashes? You praise when you're dancing and you're worshiping God. He gives us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So He takes it out of us, but it's we have to choose to give it to Him. We can choose to keep it and have a pity party that only we attend, or we can choose to have a party in the presence of Almighty God with all the angels. Yeah. Right? So, and here, verse 4. So this is what He does for us. He gives us beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Yeah. And then we are called trees of righteousness. We are planted by the Lord. And what does He do? He rebuilds the old ruins. So we come, when we come into the kingdom of God, most of us are in ruins. Most of us are destroyed. Areas of our lives are shattered and broken. But what does Almighty God do? He rebuilds the old ruins. He builds us up. He starts building us up. As we start releasing to Him, as we start sowing those tears, as we start giving Him all our weeping, sowing it, He rebuilds the old ruins. He raises up the former desolations. So what was desolate, uninhabited, desolate, He raises us up. He repairs the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Sometimes it could be a generation curse that has fallen upon us. Our mothers could have went through it. Our grandparents could have went through it, and so on and so on and so on. You hear a lot of people saying these days, oh, my mother had cancer, my granny had cancer, I'm sure to get cancer. You've heard people saying, you hear it all the time. Oh, there's diabetes in my bloodline. But the Word of God says it doesn't have to be that way, because He rebuilds. He repairs the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. We can be the generation that stops the curse from going down to our children. Mothers, we are the key. Our fathers are very much a key, but I'm speaking to mothers right now. We are the key. We are the prayer warriors most of the time. The men are on the battlefield. The men were sent out into the fields to go and conquer and bring in the food. We stay at home. We stay at home with our children. We are normally the prayer warriors in our home. People do not see what happens in our home because the men are in the forefront. But we are the one on our knees. We are the one bringing our children before the Lord. We are the one bringing our husbands before the Lord. We are the one bringing our finances. Yes, we may pray with our husband, but we are the one who are passionate about things. The men are passionate about going out and providing for their families. Am I right, men?
Yeah.
We are the one. They may be passionate about other things, but we are the one who are passionate. When Isaiah, the prophet, tried, I think it was Isaiah, when he draw an analogy of God's love for us, he drew an analogy between the mother of a nursing baby, and he said, can a mother forget a baby's cry? Can she forget the son of her womb? You see, Isaiah drew the analogy between a mother and God. Yeah. That's how God is. He loves us. He wants. Don't we all want our best for our children? Don't we? If our children are going through something, it affects us. We want to build them up. We want to be there for them. If something's going wrong in their lives, something's happening in our lives. We cannot function properly. Now, I know Pastor Ray McCauley of the Rhema Church in South Africa. He always says when one of his children is sick, he calls somebody else to pray for them. Because ultimately, you become emotionally involved. You cannot function as you should. And we are there to build up our children. And I have come to realize, I thought when Marola gets married, that was my duty ended there. I've come to realize, no. And somebody said, one of the ladies in the church said to me, a mother, you never stop being a mother. Claire, I think it was you who said that. You never stop being a mother. A mother always has those emotions for her children. Always. No matter what. And I'm very pleased to have my mother here today. I think it's our first Mother's Day that we have been with her in many years. So we're very pleased to have her here. So it's the mother, us mothers in our home. We are those prayer warriors. And we can make a difference. Fathers as well, I'm talking to you as well. Men and women, I'm talking to all of you. Men, women, and children. We can make the difference in our home. We can stop things from happening in our families that happened in our parents' families, in our grandparents' families. You know, and so on and so on and so on. We see the same in our lives. We see the same in our lives. We look at our siblings and their lives. I know all of us who know the Lord, it's different. But some other, like some of Brian's brothers and sisters,
we see a pattern in their lives that have taken place in his parents' lives. Yeah. We see it. And when we look back and we see that we have made the difference because we have come before the Lord. I'm not saying this with pride or anything, but we chose to make a difference. We chose to take on the Lord. We chose to take on the word and change the circumstances so that we do not follow in the mold of the generation. And the Almighty God is there to repair the ruined cities and the desolations of many generations. So we, as children of the Almighty God, can make that difference. Let us do this. Let us sow those tears, all those tears. Some of us could have had mothers that hurt us. Some of us could have had fathers that hurt us. Some of us could have had siblings that hurt us, or uncles or aunties or whatever. And those tears still flow through our hearts. We may be adults now, but we may think of a certain situation and it causes pain. We may not even cry, but it causes pain in our heart. Sow it. Forgive and sow. And then we will see. And then, jump into verse 17, 7. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of your shame. Some of us have been walking in shame for many years. But we can stop that. Because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And instead of our shame, instead of hanging our head in shame, yeah, as we come before the Lord, releasing it all to Him, He gives us double honor. Instead of confusion, we will be rejoicing. Why will we be rejoicing? Because the Lord will show us the path. He will show us the way. He's going to build us up. He's going to build. So if you're here today feeling like a ruined city, feeling desolate, uninhabited, feeling desecrated, all you have to do. Now remember, there's nobody else that can do it for you. You can come to pastor, you can ask the elders to pray for you. We can all pray for you. The whole church can gather around you and pray for you. But it's not going to happen if you yourself do not come before Father God alone and sit with Him, alone with Him, in your closet and release everything to Him. We can pray till the cows come home. But it's not going to happen until you yourself sit with Almighty God. That is the key. You yourself have to do it. A lot of people want a quick fix. Pastor, please can you pray? There's nothing wrong with doing that. But what I'm saying is, we can pray all we want, but it's up to you. It's up to you. I had to spend hours upon hours upon hours, days upon days upon days, months upon months upon months, years upon years upon years with God Himself. And He started slowly. As I started releasing, He was building me in those areas of my life. As I was releasing, He built me up. Release, build. We are precious jewels in His sight. He sees us as precious. He sees us as beautiful. But right now, you may not see yourself as that. I was in that place not very many years ago. I was only wearing black. And my dear friend, Yvonne, this is my testimony I tell everybody. She said, Gail, get out of your mourning. And I said, and I went home feeling a bit irritated. What does she mean, I'm mourning? I'm not mourning, I just like this black. But as I went before God, and I said, Lord, you know, what's going on here? He revealed to me. It was because of everything, the desolation of my life. My life was in ruins. I thought I was okay. You know, I dealt with all of these things. I dealt with everything. I forgave everyone. I was okay. But God showed me otherwise. There's certain areas. You see, forgiveness, we have spoken this about this many times. Forgiveness is like an onion. It has layers. We can do a once-off forgiveness and say, Lord, I forgive everybody. And we think, okay. But we're not okay. Because we may see somebody. And we remember 20 years ago, this is what this person did for me. We'll still talk to them or whatever. But 20 years ago, this is how this person hurt me. You know? Then you know, hey, that's not dealt with. I remember David Stedman, a lot of you may know that, David Stedman. We had an issue with our property many, many years ago. And we were relating the story to him. And the way he said it, he turned to us and said, have you really forgiven that person? And we said, yes, of course we have. And he said, no, you haven't. And you know David Stedman, how he speaks in his calm tone. No, you haven't. So we said, what do you mean we haven't? We have. We've forgiven him. So, but what just came out of your heart or your mouth just told me that you hadn't. And you know what? He was right. Because we went back and said, Lord, did we really forgive this person? We said we did, but did we forgive them from our heart? And then we had to do that. So check yourself. Check what's coming out of your mouth. How it's coming. Ask somebody else. How is this? Don't ask yourself, because to you it'll sound okay. You know? Ask somebody else. How have I just said this? Sometimes the kids say to me, Mom, that wasn't very nice, what you said. And I said, what do you mean? I only said something right. He said, yeah, but the way it came out of your mouth, you know, it wasn't nice. It didn't sound good. Okay? So our children keep us in check as well. So there we go. The message for today then, sow your tears, because the promise is you will have everlasting joy. Without a shadow of doubt, you will have everlasting joy in your head. You will come with rejoicing. The Lord will rebuild your broken lives. He will. And one day you will be standing here like I am standing here and sharing your testimony.